Hello, this is Sharon Silcox for the Triangle Radio Reading Service, welcoming you to our reading of the book, The Goodwill Vultures Club, A Day of Heroes. I'm thrilled to have the author, Hugh Willard, here with me today. Hugh and I will be reading his book together. This program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. If you have any questions or comments, please contact us at our website, triangleredingservice.org, or call us at 919-832-5138. Once again, that number is 919-832-5138. And now, join us in this delightful contemporary story of unusual friendships, bravery, and compassion. Welcome to the Goodwill Vultures Club. When Buzz, Jason, and their dad arrived at the community center, a dark blue van was parked over on the side of the building. The van door was fully open, and an older woman wearing a bright yellow Greendale Community Center staff shirt was standing outside, talking with one of the children who remained in the van. She looked exasperated, and the girl appeared almost lifeless as she sat and stared straight ahead at the back of the front seat, occasionally shaking her head and hand slightly. Another staff member walked up and spoke briefly with the lady before turning and jogging back into the building. While Buzz was unbuckling Rob's crate from the back seat, the second staff member came back outside with Miss Stinson. Miss Stinson was tall and thin, with wide shoulders, short black hair, and an ever-present welcoming expression. Jason, who had just been helped into his wheelchair by his dad, called out excitedly,
"Hey, Miss Stinson, how are you?"
"Well, my word, if it isn't Jason Stewart, look at you. You're turning into quite the handsome young man." Jason beamed as Miss Stinson detoured away from the center's van to come over by the Stewarts. She leaned over and gave Jason a strong embrace before standing up and greeting Mr. Stewart with a warm smile and firm handshake. "Jerry, it's nice to see you again. How have you been?"
"Staying busy as usual, Darla. Work's never ending. And these two rascals keep me on my toes as well."
"That's good to hear, Jerry. I know there's been a lot of change for all of you over the past year. I've certainly thought about you all and hoped that you've been okay."
"Thank you, Darla. I appreciate your kind thoughts. The boys seem to be handling the divorce better as time moves on. Jason's really loved getting more into basketball and girls, of course. Since he's discovered that girls are nicer to look at and talk to than me or his brother, his time in front of the bathroom mirror has quadrupled. You can see that he decided to have blonde highlights put in his hair since you last saw him."
Rather than be embarrassed, Jason grinned and shot right back at his dad.
"That's right. You know I've got to look my best for the ladies."
Miss Stinson chuckled. "I think it looks great, Jason."
"Why, thank you."
Jason tilted his head back and a smile spread across his broad face. She then turned slightly to see Buzz timidly leaning up against the van, holding the large crate with a small covering still draped over it. "Hi, Buzz. We spoke on the phone yesterday, and I actually remember meeting you briefly several years ago. It was at the summer camp closing when Jason got the award for helping so much with the other campers. It looks like being helpful is a family trait." Buzz's face showed some slight confusion as he stood up straight and then, remembering his manners, gave a polite smile and said, "Thank you." Miss Stinson, sensing Buzz's apprehension, moved closer to him. "I know you don't know why I asked you to come and bring Roberta today. I really appreciate your coming. Would you mind taking Roberta out of the crate and bring her with me over to our van?"
Sure. Okay. Is that Chrissy sitting in the van over there?"
"Yes, it is. And as you can see, she's not having a good start to the afternoon." Miss Stinson went on to explain that although Chrissy's autism was severe, including her being nonverbal, she was usually very animated and happy. She would easily interact and play with family and friends. However, this past spring, one of Chrissy's best friends had moved away with her family to another state. Since then, Chrissy had become increasingly withdrawn, rarely showing any signs of emotion or interaction with anyone. This had greatly concerned her mother and the staff at the community center. However, she added, When she met Roberta yesterday at the pool, the staff working with her said they saw the most amazing transformation. Chrissy seemed to come back to life. Her eyes became bright, and she actually smiled, a huge, open-mouthed smile. She spontaneously began clapping and shrieking, Buzz. When I talked with Chrissy's mom yesterday afternoon, she was shocked. She said she had not seen that reaction from Chrissy since before the spring. Buzz's posture immediately relaxed.
Wow, that's pretty cool,
he said with his pride in Rob building and growing across his face.
What do you think about that, Rob?
He asked softly while scratching the top of her head. Yes, it is pretty cool, Buzz, echoed Miss Stinson. We are all hoping that Chrissy's chance encounter with Roberta... You actually call her Rob? Buzz nodded. We're hoping that their meeting yesterday may be an important insight into helping Chrissy open up and get healthier. She's been around other animals before on our trips to the zoo, but never up close with a bird. If she responds again positively to Rob, we're going to experiment with introducing her to other birds to see how she reacts. I was hoping your dad might be able to help us with this.
I'd be happy to, Darla,
Mr. Stewart replied as he put his arm around Buzz's shoulders. How about we go over to reintroduce Rob and Chrissy, said Miss Stinson.
Sounds good,
Buzz answered excitedly.
Dad, I'm going to head inside to talk with some of the staff,
Jason said casually as he motored away in his chair.
Good luck, Buzz. Thanks, Jason.
Miss Stinson took the lead in moving over towards the van, with Buzz, Rob, and his dad following, slowing slightly once they drew nearer. Hi, Joan. How is our friend Chrissy doing today? Miss Stinson asked of Chrissy's one-on-one aide. Well, she doesn't seem to want to get out of the van, she replied, sounding tired but hopeful. She doesn't want to get out of the van. Miss Chrissy, I have a special surprise for you. Miss Stinson's voice lifted as she leaned in to check on her. She slid the passenger door open further and motioned with her arm slightly behind her for Buzz to bring Rob closer. Do you remember meeting a new friend yesterday at the pool? Rob was relaxed, but very still as Buzz slowly shuffled closer toward Chrissy. At first, there was no response from Chrissy. She continued to stare vacantly at the van floor. After a moment, Rob deliberately opened her wings wide and then quickly thrust them back to her sides, then cocked her head to one side to look in on Chrissy. It was at that moment that Chrissy's eyes opened wide and her head lifted and swiveled in Rob's direction. Was followed closely by several short grunts and arm shaking as Chrissy came to life again. There were alternating looks of joy and relief, with Miss Stinson and Joan both beginning to cry. Oh, Chrissy, this is so, so amazing. I don't know what to... I'm speechless, Miss Stinson whispered as she put her hand over her mouth while Joan reached in and gave Chrissy a big hug. Chrissy continued to flap her arms and squeal while she kept her gaze on Rob. Miss Stinson tried to compose herself, wiping her eyes and straightening her blouse. Jerry, do you think it's okay to bring Rob closer to Chrissy?
Buzz has done a great job of getting her used to people and other animals,
Mr. Stewart said.
I'm not concerned about Roberta hurting Chrissy, but let's do this slowly to help both of them adjust.
Buzz spoke quietly to Rob as they inched toward the still shrieking Chrissy.
It's okay, girl. This is a new friend. Her name is Chrissy.
When Buzz and Rob got right next to her, Chrissy grew quiet and still, but her eyes remained big and focused on Rob. She now began a soft whisper moan, almost like the coo of a pigeon. As Chrissy continued to stare, Buzz was perfectly still and attentive, while the adults stood back in a state of awe. This is utterly amazing. I'm still speechless. Okay, Darla, pull yourself together, girl, Miss Stinson said out loud to herself. Joan, let's get Chrissy inside with the rest of the kids. Buzz, can you bring Rob in for a while?
Yes, ma'am,
Buzz answered with a contented smile. I have a few phone calls I need to make, starting with Chrissy's mom, Miss Stinson said as she turned to go in. Thursday, August 21st, 2012. Newsworthy.
Buzz, you up yet?
Mr. Stewart called as he entered Buzz's room.
Yeah, Dad.
Mumbled Buzz. He'd actually still been asleep until being awakened by his dad's voice. Buzz fumbled to sit up in bed, rubbing both eyes while his dad sat down beside him.
We had quite an eventful day yesterday. Roberta was a real rock star, not only with Chrissy, which was just huge, but also with several of the other kids there at the community center. Yeah, she was really great,
Buzz said, through a still sleepy face.
Well, I've got some more news to share,
Mr. Stewart started.
After you went to bed last night, I got a call from Darla Stinson. When she called Chrissy's mom to share the unbelievable experience, their next-door neighbor was over visiting. It turns out that their neighbor is Julia Wills, the TV news reporter with Channel 5 News. It seems that Mrs. Wills thinks that this might be a story worth sharing with all of Greendale.
Are you serious? You're not teasing, are you, Dad?
Buzz was wide awake now and sitting upright in his bed.
Absolutely not, son. You've got a special bird, and you've really done a nice job with her. Ms. Stinson asked about Roberta coming to the community center on a regular weekly schedule to visit Chrissy and the other special needs kids. She thought that maybe Julia Wills could come by the center today to film and do a story on you, Roberta, and Chrissy.
Hey, Dad,
sounded the voice from the hall outside Buzz's room.
Can I come too? Mrs. Wills is one fine reporter. I'd love to meet her.
She's a fine reporter. She's also newly married and at least 10 years older than you, Jason. But of course you can come. Just behave yourself. That means no flirting, Jason,
said Buzz in a playful tone to his brother.
Shut up, Buzz. Once again, you're just jealous because I'm better looking than you.
Yeah, right,
Buzz responded sarcastically as he jumped out of bed, pulling his pajamas off almost before his feet hit the bedroom floor. He wanted to dress as fast as he could so he could first go and check on Rob in the treehouse before running over to Pee-wee's house to share the news.
All right, boys, that's enough,
Mr. Stewart said warmly.
Although normally, Buzz, you'd have had a stronger comeback to your brother. I guess you've got a few other things on your mind. Yes, I do,
Buzz said as he was trailing out of his bedroom while simultaneously pulling his T-shirt on over his head and deftly dodging Jason's wheelchair in the doorway. When Buzz charged out of the back door of the house, he almost knocked over Pee-wee.
Whoa, dude. Where are you off to in such a rush?
Pee-wee, man, have I got something to tell you. Wait a minute. What are you doing here so early in the morning?
You mean something like Roberta helped some troubled kid at the community center and now it's going to be on the news?
Pee-wee said with a sly grin.
No. Wait. What? Yeah, how did you know that?
Buzz was a ball of excitement and confusion all rolled into one, but mostly excitement.
DC saw Caroline last night at the library. Caroline's mom works as a producer at the TV station. Apparently everyone was talking about it there. Just don't forget who your best friend is when you become famous, all right?
Wow. I didn't know about Caroline's mom, but yeah, that's what happened, only it wasn't a troubled kid. It was a girl with severe autism. Her best friend moved away this past spring, and Rob was the first one to cheer her up. Apparently, she got all excited when she saw Rob at the pool the other day, and then the same thing happened yesterday at the community center. She started smiling, waving her arms and hands. My girl is so cool.
So she's like a reverse animal whisperer. She's a people whisperer,
Pee-wee said lightly.
Maybe so. Like you said, she's been good for me, too.
Buzz replied, pausing for a moment to again flash back to when he'd first brought Rob home.
So when is her big TV debut?
Dad said maybe tonight. We're going back to the community center this afternoon when Chrissy, that's the girl's name, when she and the others are there. The reporter from Channel 5 is supposed to be there, too.
That's not good,
Pee-wee said with some alarm. Buzz looked perplexed.
Why? What do you mean?
That only gives you a few hours to fix that goofy face of yours so you don't break the camera.
Pee-wee took off laughing after he finished his lighthearted insult of his best friend. Buzz started after him a half second later, both boys laughing and running toward the treehouse. Pee-wee seemed to instinctively know that this is where Buzz wanted to go. After they both charged up the ramp and into the room, they quickly slowed to catch their breath. Rob was resting peaceably on her perch by the window. Buzz and Pee-wee both moved more calmly over to her, with Buzz taking the lead.
Good morning, pretty girl.
Buzz spoke gently as he approached.
Dude, she may be great, but she ain't pretty,
Pee-wee said, while walking over beside her.
She is to me,
smiled Buzz admiringly.
She is to me.
Pee-wee shook his head and rolled his eyes.
I feel like I'm watching one of those mushy movies on TV that my mom likes to watch.
Buzz chuckled.
Do you remember that time we walked in on Jason watching one of those and he got all mad?
I think he was embarrassed because he was crying about something in the movie,
Pee-wee said as he reached over to lightly pat Rob.
Well, Rob, let's get your breakfast taken care of so you'll be all ready for this afternoon. We're going back to see Chrissy again, and you're going to be on TV. What do you think about that, girl?
Rob twitched her head at the sound of the word breakfast and hopped down to the floor.
Oops. Sorry, girl. I was so excited about the news that I forgot to bring your food. We'll be right back, Rob.
Rob's expression did not shift when the two boys ran down out of the treehouse to go retrieve her meal. They returned a few minutes later with Buzz carrying a short-handled shovel with a disfigured carcass on the blade. Buzz spoke in a fake, fancy French accent.
Today we have the most especially fine cuisine for our honored guest, Ode de Possum.
Pee-wee burst out laughing.
Dude, Ode de whatever is what you call fancy perfume, not a stinking dead possum.
Well, what's ever?
Buzz answered, maintaining the fake accent.
This is the finest food one can find on this side on the highway.
Both boys laughed as they settled in for a while to relax and talk about nothing in particular, while Rob picked away at her breakfast. After a while, Pee-wee got a text on his phone and abruptly got up to leave.
Where are you going?
I gotta go. Do you want to come along with us this afternoon? You might even get on TV yourself. Nah, I gotta go somewhere with DC. Besides, you know my family's in the Federal Witness Protection Program because Mom was a CIA agent. You know the deal. She was involved in top-secret overseas missions.
Pee-wee joked.
I can't be on TV. Seriously, dude, that doesn't even make any sense. Come on and go with us this afternoon. Sorry, man, I can't,
Pee-wee said as he jogged out of the door. Buzz looked puzzled by Pee-wee's sudden departure, but then shrugged his shoulders and gazed back at Rob, smiling.
Okay, your loss,
he breathed softly as he stroked Rob on her back. Later in the afternoon, as Buzz, Rob, Jason, and their dad pulled up to the community center, they saw the Channel 5 van with the supersized antenna atop. Buzz was excited and queasy. He certainly wasn't used to this kind of attention.
There she is!
Jason barked sharply while pointing his unsteady finger toward the short, blonde TV reporter, Julia Wills.
Man, she is gorgeous!
Yeah, well, she's not here to see you, Jason, so chill, man.
Buzz said nervously as he peered over toward the reporter and the cameraman who were getting his equipment together.
How are you feeling, son? Ready to go?
Mr. Stewart asked gently when he turned and looked to the back of the van where Buzz and Rob were sitting. Buzz's dad was very perceptive when it came to both of his son's feelings. He knew Buzz was feeling both proud and anxious.
Yeah, I'm ready. This is really for Rob, so I'm good.
When Buzz stepped out of the van with Rob, he caught his first glimpse of his friends standing around the side of the community center, trying to stay out of sight. He moved over further to get a better look and saw several familiar backs, heads, and bodies scurrying toward the back corner of the building. There was Caroline, Pee-wee, and DC, along with several other classmates from school. Buzz smiled as he realized that they must have come to surprise and support him and Rob. He'd started to wander towards the back of the center when he heard Miss Stinson. "Hi, Buzz," she called, jogging over towards them. "How are you? This is quite exciting, isn't it? I don't think I slept at all last night thinking about Chrissy and you and Rob. How's Rob doing today?" Miss Stinson was a bundle of joy and nerves. Buzz smiled and answered with a polite,
"We're both doing fine."
"That's good to hear. So, your dad told you all about the TV folks coming today?" Buzz nodded and stole a few glances, first over towards the Channel 5 news van, and then back over towards the side of the building to see if his friends had returned. His attention was brought back when Miss Stinson told him that they were going to set up inside. "Chrissy and the other students are already in the arts and crafts room working on a poster for Rob. You ready to go inside?" "Oh, I almost forgot. There's also a reporter from the Greendale Gazette here to do a story for the newspaper. This is a really special day, Buzz. Thank you again for what you and Rob are doing for Chrissy."
"You're welcome,"
Buzz said happily as he looked at Rob in her cage.
"Are you ready to go see Chrissy, girl?"
Rob tilted her head toward Buzz in a robotic shift, seeming to listen very intently to her human companion. When Buzz, his family, and Miss Stinson began walking to the entrance, the TV reporter came up with the cameraman slightly behind. Buzz saw the red light on the camera and thought that they must be recording. "Good afternoon. I'm Julia Wills with Channel 5 News, and you have to be Buzz Stewart along with your precocious avian friend Roberta. Do I have that right?"
Yes, I'm Buzz, and this is Roberta."
Buzz wasn't sure what precocious meant, but he assumed it was good, and it seemed to fit with the formality of calling his girl Roberta. After a few questions about Rob's effect on Chrissy, the reporter asked Buzz how Roberta came into his life. She framed the question with the words, "most unusual pet vulture." This phrase was repeated several times during the interview. At first, Buzz considered it a little annoying, but he soon found it to be kind of amusing. After all, Buzz thought, what exactly does a usual pet vulture look like as compared to an unusual one? The interview went along for a few more minutes before the whole group went inside. Buzz suspected that he would see his friends waiting to surprise him in the arts and crafts room. However, when they rounded the corner in the hallway, cheers erupted and bright camera flashes started popping repeatedly, startling both Buzz and Rob, who flailed and flapped her wings sharply for a few moments. Miss Stinson knew that too much commotion in the room might upset Chrissy and the other children, so she had directed everyone to meet in the hallway first. Buzz was able to quickly calm Rob by speaking softly and stroking the back of her head. All of his friends, as well as the newspaper reporter, saw her alarm and immediately got quiet, although some of his school friends were still giddy with the fact that they were actually seeing a vulture up close and that they could get to be on the TV news, too. The remainder of the visit went smoothly, since Chrissy was once again extremely happy when she saw Rob. Caroline kept Rob close to Chrissy while Buzz was across the room patiently answering the questions of the newspaper reporter. Miss Stinson put Buzz's other friends to work helping out with the poster and various other art projects. The entire visit was captured by the cameraman with running commentary by Julia Wills. On the way home, Buzz still had the rush of adrenaline from all the excitement of the afternoon. He thought for a moment and then spoke to his dad.
"Hey, Dad, do you think we could invite my friends over tonight to have pizza and watch the news?"
"I'm one step ahead of you, son. I've already called the parents, and it's all set. We should see them all around 6 o'clock.
Cool. Thanks, Dad.
Buzz said as he finally started to relax and sit back in his seat for the rest of the ride home. Just a few minutes before 6 p.m., Pee-wee and D.C. rang the doorbell before barging in.
I can't wait to see me on TV,
Pee-wee said as they came into the living room.
I thought you couldn't be on TV because it would blow your mom's cover.
D.C. scrunched her nose and gave Pee-wee a what-on-earth-did-you-tell-him look to her brother. Just then, the doorbell rang again, but before Buzz could get there, Caroline had let herself in. Hey, Buzz, where's my girl? She said with typical brash excitement when she brushed by him.
She's in the treehouse with Maggie. She's had a very full day, so I thought she needed to rest. By the way, come in,
Buzz said in a playful, sarcastic tone.
Okay, I'll go see her after we see the story. Oh, yeah, there's another surprise for you.
Caroline gave a sly smile before stopping short of telling Buzz what the surprise was. Buzz was never sure of what to expect with Caroline, but he was too preoccupied with all the excitement of the day to ask about the surprise. Caroline, Buzz, Pee-wee, D.C., Jason, and Mr. Stewart all settled in to watch the news. Gillian moved from one person to the next, forcefully nuzzling arms and hands with her snout, expecting to be patted and scratched, but everyone ignored her with their eyes glued to the TV screen.
And coming up next, we have the amazing story of a young boy and his pet, Vulture. Yes, you heard correctly. Elton Stewart, known by friends and family as Buzz.
Buzz was unable to hear the rest of the announcer's lead-in because his friends howled with laughter and began repeating his name in formal, business-like tones of voice. Even D.C. giggled. Elton Stewart.
Mr. Elton Stewart.
Sir Elton Stewart.
Elton Jebediah Stewart.
Came the last mocking reply from Pee-wee.
All right, you guys can stop that now.
Buzz tried to sound bothered, but was doing a poor job of hiding his own smile. D.C. quietly leaned over toward Jason. Is his middle name really Jebediah? Jason smiled and shook his head no as Buzz cut in.
No, your brother is an idiot.
Jason then responded to D.C.
No, our mom's maiden name is Buzzard, with an accent on the A-R-D. Elton is also our grandfather's name. He is the one who started calling Buzz, Buzz.
D.C. answered reflectively, What a coincidence that your mom's last name was Buzzard, and now you guys have a pet one. Pee-wee, amused by his new name for Buzz, interrupted his sister.
From now on, I'm calling you E.J. for Elton Jebediah.
Whatever, Mr. Pickle Wrap.
Buzz replied, still trying to sound annoyed. There was a slight pause, along with perplexed looks on everyone's faces, before the laughter broke out again.
Pickle Wrap? Dude, that is so lame. That's the best you've got for my name?
Pee-wee said through his chuckles. Caroline piped in. That is lame, Buzz. Mr. Stewart spoke up.
Okay, everyone. The last commercial is almost over.
Buzz and his dad connected eyes for a brief moment and smiled at each other. The mutual look was one of humble pride in having been through a tough time and feeling like better days were finally here. Buzz again recalled when his parents sat down with him and Jason in the living room that early summer night last year to tell them that they were getting a divorce. He had just come back from playing basketball at Pee-wee's house. It was a complete shock to both of the boys. Jason reacted with loud, angry complaining, causing his parents to focus on trying to calm him, while Buzz had been silent, running many thoughts through his mind of what the future might look like. Would they have to move away? Who would they live with? What would he tell his friends? How would he tell his friends? It was all very overwhelming to him in that moment and in the days that followed. It was the next month that Buzz, his dad, and Jason went camping and found Rob wounded and in distress. Buzz realized now that all of them were going to be just fine. After the brief moment of remembering this scene from last year, the announcer's voice pulled Buzz back to the news story.
And now to the incredible account of a young man and his pet Vulture. Elton Stewart was on a camping trip last summer when he found...
The TV anchorman continued giving the background of Buzz and Rob before the actual clip of them at the community center came on. This time, no one laughed when the anchor called him Elton, although Julia Wills only referred to him as Buzz. After the story, when the TV anchorman came back on, Caroline shouted, "Everybody, listen!" as she leaned forward and spread her arms wide, telling everyone to not move yet.
As a footnote to this heartwarming event, we here at the station have nominated Buzz and Roberta for the Animal Heroes Contest, with the winner to be chosen at the Greendale Community Day this Sunday. We profiled this annual award earlier this week on our newscast, and we feel that this unique bird has a real chance at bringing home first place. The deadline for entries is tomorrow, so we got this one submitted just in a nick of time. Good luck to you both, Buzz and Rob.
Cheers erupted in the Stewart's living room. Everyone hugged, shook, and fist-bumped Buzz. Gillian joined in the celebration by hopping up and down on her front legs and wildly wagging her tail. Once again, amid the frenzy, Buzz and his dad caught eyes and shared a subtle smile. Friday, August 22nd, 2012. The venue. The next morning, Buzz was back in the treehouse, stretched out with his legs hanging over his dad's old, tattered blue recliner. The chair really reinforced the cozy feel of the room for Buzz. He loved to extend the footrest and lay all the way back, sometimes even taking naps in it. He was reading a book when he heard the familiar footsteps of his best friend ascending the ramp.
"What's up, TV star?"
Pee-wee said as he lazily strolled in.
"Not much. I'm just reading from the mixed-up files of Mrs. Basil E. Frankweiler for the 37th time."
Pee-wee knew that Buzz liked to exaggerate to emphasize his experiences.
"I wasn't talking to you, Dweebo Einstein,"
Pee-wee said while plopping down on top of Buzz. Buzz let out an oof as Pee-wee continued.
"I was talking to Rob."
"Yeah, sure. You know how jealous you are of me right now,"
Buzz said, pushing Pee-wee off of his stomach.
"You better be nice to me. I might be a rich man in 2 days. $500 for first place in the Animal Heroes Contest buys a lot of phone apps and Lego sets."
"Oh, listen to Mr. Overconfident Money Man. How do you know that you're going to win?"
Buzz stopped the light exchange for a moment.
"You're actually probably right. I mean, it's great that Rob is helping Chrissy, but I'm sure there are other much more deserving pets. You hear about these amazing stories all the time on Animal Planet."
Pee-wee followed his friend's serious response.
"Dude, you should be very proud of Rob and yourself. There's nothing like her around."
Buzz smiled and corrected Pee-wee.
"No one like her around."
Pee-wee and Buzz hung around the treehouse for a while, laughing and joking and talking more about the community day on Sunday, as well as school beginning on Monday. They would be starting the fifth grade, DC would be in the seventh grade, and Jason would be going to Greendale High School for the first time.
"You know, a bunch of people at school will be talking about you and Rob now that you've been on the news. Do you think that they will let you bring her to school sometime?"
"I don't know, although I kind of doubt it. They never let students bring in other pets,"
Buzz said reflectively, glancing over at Rob. She dropped down from her favorite spot on her perch by the window and hopped over to where Gillian and Maggie were sleeping. Gillian lifted her head and gently sniffed in Rob's direction, while Maggie, as usual, barely raised her red inner eyelids while seeming to remain asleep. Sleeping was definitely Maggie's best talent. Rob leaned closer in Gillian's direction, and the two shared a brief look of affection before both turned their gazes away. Rob turned in a half circle and began picking at her breast. Both boys became quiet for a few moments before Pee-wee, who had turned to look out of the window, exclaimed,
"Dude, look at those vultures over by the high school. There must be 20 or more."
Buzz rustled himself up from being draped over the recliner and pushed in beside his friend at the window ledge. He looked across the field adjacent to his backyard, over the tree line where the woods began that separated the field from Greendale High School. Looking up, he saw a graceful aerial choreography of the large black birds, steady and certain in their moves, as they glided and swooped in imperfect circles.
"Let's go see what's going on,"
Pee-wee suggested as he moved away from the ledge and toward Rob.
"We can take Rob and the dogs. I'm sure they'd love a good adventure."
"Well, let's take Rob, but leave the girls. They get all crazy and be too much to keep up with,"
Buzz replied.
"What do you think, girl? Do you want to go see some friends?"
Buzz said, while shifting over toward Rob. Gillian, keenly aware of every move Buzz made, knew they were about to leave.
"Gillian, you stay here and watch your sister. Make sure she behaves."
Whenever Buzz said that to Gillian, her ears drooped, as she knew she would not get to join in the fun.
"Maggie?"
Buzz started. Maggie's snoring interrupted Buzz before he could say any more.
"Never mind. Gillian, watch your sister."
Gillian turned and lowered her head back onto her front paws with a mild look of pout in her eyes. When Buzz, Rob, and Pee-wee emerged from the woods by the back parking lot of the high school, they saw two vultures light on the ladder climbing up the big blue-green water tower over to the side of the parking lot away from the main building. The birds had joined the other 23 that had already settled at various levels on the tower supports and spiral staircase that led up to the tank itself. Both boys' necks craned as they stared upwards at the collection of stately vultures. Pee-wee was counting their numbers out loud while they walked over in the direction of the water tower. Buzz noticed how all of the birds looked so serious, like they were at work with a very important task to undertake. Neither of the boys had ever seen such a spectacle. All of these giant black birds in one place.
"What do you think they're doing?"
Pee-wee asked as they approached. A slightly menacing response sounded from directly underneath the tower.
"Who you talking about, boy?"
The voice belonged to an older high school student with stringy brown hair, baggy jeans, and an oversized T-shirt with the words, "My pet honey badger ate your honor roll student," across the front. Neither Buzz nor Pee-wee had noticed the teen standing there, since they were totally engrossed with the sight of all the birds.
"We were just looking at all of the vultures up there,"
Pee-wee said, feebly pointing his right index finger toward the water tank above. Just as Pee-wee was speaking, the teen noticed Buzz and Rob slightly behind.
"Ah! What's the matter with you, boy? Are you crazy? What are you doing with that thing? You better keep that thing away from..."
"Chill out, man."
A voice from behind the first teen called out, and when he turned sideways to look, Buzz and Pee-wee could see the brother of their classmate, Mark, the one who had spoken so harshly to Buzz and Rob at the Special Populations basketball game last Sunday. This time, as he rose from sitting on one of the concrete foundation supports for the water tower, his demeanor was completely altered. His face was open, and Buzz even thought he detected a slight smile turning at the corners of his mouth.
"Dude, they're cool. Him and that bird were on TV last night with my cousin Chrissy."
"Mark and his brother are cousins with Chrissy?"
Buzz thought to himself while he was trying to catch up to all that was going on in that moment.
"You're Chrissy's cousin?"
he finally said after a few seconds.
"Yeah, she's my cousin. My aunt called my mom and told us what was going on. We all went over to the house last night to watch. When the story came on, Chrissy got all excited again. Dude, I have never in my life seen that. It was magic."
Mark's brother moved deliberately over toward Buzz and Rob. Pee-wee flinched a bit and took a half step backwards. While he spoke, Mark's brother adjusted his tattered baseball cap that had a large gold fishhook embedded in the side of the bill.
"My name's Nick. And this here's my boy, Duncan."
All four boys subtly nodded at each other in a universal male sign of acknowledgement and greeting.
Listen, man, I'm sorry about how I talked to you at the game last Sunday. I was just concerned for my cousin, is all. I never knew this would happen.
Nick reached his hand out to shake with Buzz.
That's okay. I don't remember seeing Chrissy at the game. But then again, I was only in there for a few minutes before I had to take Rob outside.
Buzz and Pee-wee both were much relieved at the change in Duncan's attitude when Nick took charge of the conversation. The four boys talked for a few minutes longer before they were interrupted by a mass launch of the birds overhead. In a matter of moments, the vultures had scattered into several smaller cliques in opposing directions before circling back in a larger clutch and gliding off to an unknown destination. Nick spoke first.
I think those guys are having a meeting to discuss today's assignments. Who was going to clean up which roadkill?
Both Nick and Duncan laughed, and Buzz and Pee-wee smiled, neither sure of what to think about Nick's idea. After a moment, Buzz offered.
My dad says that a group of vultures is called a venue.
The two older boys stopped laughing and looked mildly puzzled by this comment.
Well, we're out of here. You guys be cool,
Nick said as he and his friend turned to walk away.
Oh, yeah. Good luck with the contest on Sunday. I'll be pulling for you. Thanks, man,
Buzz responded before looking over at Pee-wee.
Dude, I really thought we had a problem when Duncan first started talking, and then to see Mark's brother. I remember you told me that he broke some kid's jaw at the end of school last year. He actually seems like a decent guy.
I know,
Pee-wee said with his eyes still opened extra wide.
That was weird. And venue? What's up with that goofy factoid? I don't know,
Buzz chuckled.
I didn't know what else to say. Well, I'm just glad we don't have broken jaws.
Saturday, August 23rd, 2012, Dumpster.
Okay, everybody, listen up. We've had a busy week, and we have a lot to talk about in our club meeting today. Maggie, you need to wake up for this one, because you're coming tomorrow to the community day.
When Buzz looked over Maggie's way, the common refrain sounded.
Wow, that was different. I've never heard that ending before. I guess you're telling me that you want to be exempt from staying awake.
Buzz smiled fondly at his rascal beagle.
Okay. It's not like I can make you stay awake anyway. We'll catch you up later, Margaret.
While Buzz continued to talk about the community day plans with cautious excitement for the Animal Heroes contest, the now familiar clomp of Pee-wee sneakers ascended into the treehouse.
What's up, corn dog?
Pee-wee said, drifting over to the recliner, pausing briefly to scratch Gillian behind the ear.
Not much, Bubblehead. Once again, what are you doing here so early on a Saturday morning? It's not even 9 o'clock yet. You don't get up until at least 10 in the summertime.
I know. I believe it was Maggie's snoring that woke me up. Even if I didn't live next door, I'm sure I could hear that noise halfway down the street. Dude, you need to take her to get one of those masks like your dad wears to stop snoring. What's that called? A C-snap machine?
Yeah, right,
Buzz said flatly.
It's called a CPAP machine, and Maggie's loud, but she's not that loud.
Pee-wee grinned and stretched out in the comfy chair.
That machine makes your dad look sort of like Rob. The mask over his nose and mouth just needs to be red. You remember when I spent the night over here after the last day of school? How we heard the machine all the way out here in the treehouse and snuck over to your dad's window to see? Yeah, that was the first night Dad had the machine. It definitely took him a few days to figure out how to use it the right way. Those first few nights were doubly rough, hearing both his snoring and the machine.
Well, don't let me interrupt your meeting,
Pee-wee said with mock seriousness as he waved his hand at Buzz.
I'll stretch out quietly over here and get the rest of my beauty sleep. Please do. It's hurting Rob's eyes to look at you. We don't need her having another health emergency before tomorrow.
Pee-wee gave a fake laugh.
Ah, ha, ha. That joke is older than our parents.
Buzz reached over, picked up one of Gillian's ragged, stuffed toy snakes, and tossed it at Pee-wee, who grabbed it just before Gillian leapt on top of him to retrieve it herself.
Ah, killer attack dog. Somebody call animal control. I'm being slobbered to death. And if that doesn't kill me, her breath will. Gillian, you seriously need to brush your teeth or change your diet, or both.
Gillian grabbed the toy in her mouth and started a yanking tug-of-war session with Pee-wee. By this time, Maggie had stirred and trotted over to join in the fun. Buzz watched for a few moments before diving in himself. While Maggie barked and wagged her tail, Buzz, Pee-wee, and Gillian all had a piece of the snake, shaking and pulling until Buzz was sure the poor toy would rip apart. During a brief, simultaneous pause in the tugging, both Buzz and Pee-wee glanced over to see Rob looking down upon them from her perch by the window to the side of the chair.
When did she get over here?
Pee-wee asked in a moment of awe and wonder, given that just moments before she was on the floor over in the opposite corner by her cave.
Wow, it almost seems like she wants to join in the fun.
Buzz responded as he too looked up at Rob with pride and curiosity.
Do you want to play too, girl?
He asked in an easy sing-song voice. Both boys let go of the toy snake and sat staring at Rob for a few seconds. Gillian strutted away, snake in mouth, the winner of the epic battle. Maggie jumped alongside on her short, stout legs, while Gillian ignored her smaller, frisky companion on the way to the far side of the treehouse.
What you thinking about, girl?
Buzz asked after a time. Rob picked up one foot, stretched her talons, and rotated on the perch to shift her body more toward the window opening. Pee-wee stood up and leaned against the ledge beside Rob.
Do you ever worry that she'll fall out of the window?
Sometimes I think about that,
Buzz answered.
But my dad said with her wing injury, she can only fly very short distances, basically more like gliding. I think if she fell out of the window, she just...
Buzz hadn't finished his sentence when Rob lunged forward and out of the window.
Sail!
Buzz exclaimed as both boys peered out and saw Rob in a majestic soar toward the ground. Gillian dropped the snake, and both dogs took off after Buzz and Pee-wee, with all of them converging at the treehouse door.
Dude, do you think she's okay?
Buzz was already out of breath.
Yeah, I'm sure she is.
His voice bounced as they ran down the ramp.
Wasn't that the coolest?
The boys ran directly toward Rob, slowing as they got closer, while the dogs peeled off to chase a large rabbit that was nearby. The rabbit easily got away into the woods, but the dogs still gave chase with Maggie yelping feverishly. When Buzz and Pee-wee arrived next to Rob, they saw in front of her a baby rabbit laying on its side, shivering.
Whoa, look at that,
Pee-wee said.
I think it's hurt. Leave it alone now, girl.
He started to admonish Rob.
Look,
Buzz answered quickly.
She's not going to hurt it. It looks like she's just curious. She's just standing by it.
Dude, she's a carnivore. She's waiting for it to die so she can eat it. In fact, didn't your dad say that they sometimes eat live animals?
I know it's her natural instinct,
Buzz said with slight annoyance.
But maybe she's remembering her own experience and wants to help the baby. And hold on, you just told her to leave it alone.
Come on, man, this is who she is. I know it's not pretty, and I don't like seeing it any more than you do, but she's just wanting to do her job. You told me yourself that your dad brings home dead animals from the pet store and from the side of the road for Rob to eat, just like that dead possum we gave her on Thursday. This really isn't that much different.
No, this one is different. This one is still alive. Maybe we can save her and nurse her back to health,
Buzz said as he recalled seeing Rob for the first time. Pee-wee chuckled.
What is it with you and wounded animals? You're going to have a whole zoo at your house if you keep this up.
Buzz laughed.
Sometimes I think we already do, with the girls and my clown monkey brother.
If your brother's a monkey, what animal are you?
I'm the zookeeper's assistant, of course.
Buzz said, sticking his chest and chin out.
I never heard of a corn dog being in charge of animals. Aren't you afraid they'll eat you one day?
Pee-wee said with his ever-present grin. Buzz shot right back.
Nope. Monkeys are vegetarian, I think. Dogs aren't cannibals, so they wouldn't eat a corn dog. And Rob only eats dead things, so I'm good to go.
Buzz added, while giving Pee-wee a playful shove.
Besides, you're the real 100% beef corn dog, so you should be watching your back.
Pee-wee shook his head in fake disappointment.
Dude, your cracks are so lame. I have so much to teach you.
Both boys smirked, and Buzz squatted to get a closer look at the bunny. Rob picked her talons up and down as if marching in place like an army soldier. The baby rabbit's brown-gray fur rippled, and with its black pearl eyes staring straight ahead, it let out a small sigh. Pee-wee spoke up as if he were reading Buzz's mind.
I'll get the dogs and put them inside and see if I can find a box and an old blanket to keep it warm. Thanks, Pee-wee.
After Pee-wee returned, Buzz carefully scooped up the tiny animal, paralyzed with fear, and placed it in the bunched-up blanket in the box. Once back inside, they spent several minutes watching over the new cause, unsure of what to do next. The boys tried to diagnose what exactly was the matter with the bunny. They tried to give it warm milk from an eyedropper with no success. It wouldn't move. Suddenly, Pee-wee called out,
I know. Let's Google how to take care of a wild baby rabbit. Why didn't I think of that before?
Awesome. That's a great idea.
Buzz said as they both headed for the computer back in the family room. When they jogged into the room, they saw Jason sitting at the computer watching a video.
Guess what?
Buzz asked excitedly.
Shush! I'm watching my show!
Dude, we need the computer for a minute. Pee-wee and I found an injured baby rabbit, and we need to find out what it needs.
Not now. Quiet. I'm trying to hear.
Jason said through a frumpled scowl, never actually moving his eyes away from the computer screen. Before Buzz could argue further, Pee-wee interjected.
Come on, Buzz. We can't bother His Highness while he watches his soap opera. Let's take it over to my house. We can use the computer there.
When Pee-wee and Buzz strode into the house next door, they found DC with her laptop sitting on the couch. As they plopped it down, one on each side, with Buzz holding the cardboard box, DC shifted her glance back and forth between the two boys.
Why are you both sitting so close to me? And, what's in the box?
Pee-wee, never missing an opportunity to tease, immediately said in a calm voice.
We found a snake over by Buzz's treehouse.
Ah! Get that thing away from me!
Pee-wee, stop!
Buzz snapped.
The rabbit's getting more scared.
Right away, DC collected herself and gave a cutting look to her younger brother.
I should have known better, she said as she softened and pushed her glasses back up on her face while peering into the box. You found a baby rabbit?
After a few minutes of cooing with the bunny, all three set to the task of figuring out what it needed.
Let's see. It says here that a wild baby rabbit needs kitten milk replacer. What in the world is that?
DC asked, pointing at the computer screen.
I'm sure we can call my dad and ask.
That response came from Jason, who had just arrived outside the stoop by the screen door.
What are you doing here?
Buzz asked as all three looked over at the door.
I thought you couldn't be bothered because you were watching your all-important show.
Never mind. I'm here because you guys need my help. Now would you please bring out the portable ramp so I can come in?
Buzz and Pee-wee looked at each other and giggled, each remembering their suspicions that Jason had a new crush on DC.
Sure you are, Jason,
Pee-wee said in a sappy tone while Buzz chuckled to himself. For a time longer, the four friends took care of the baby rabbit. While waiting for Mr. Stewart to bring some of the special milk formula from the pet store, Buzz sat back, crossed his arms, and grinned. The others paused and looked at him, each seeming to know that Buzz was going to say something off the wall.
I think I'll name him Dumpster.
Pee-wee looked like he was starting to form a wisecrack response, but then stopped and just shook his head as all three friends snorted and laughed at this choice of name. At that moment, Mr. Stewart arrived. He looked over the rabbit and thought that it was just malnourished, likely the runt of the litter. Buzz pleaded with him to let him keep and raise the feeble creature. Just like with Rob, the answer was, "We'll see." Before bed that night, Mr. Stewart came into Buzz's room to say good night.
"You've had quite the eventful week, son,"
he said as he rubbed Buzz on the shoulder.
"I know, and with Rob finding the rabbit this morning, I haven't even thought much about tomorrow. Well, whatever happens tomorrow with the contest, just remember that you've got a very special bird and that you've done a great job with her, son."
Buzz smiled and slowly began to close his eyes.
"Thanks, Dad. Good night, Buzz. I love you. I love you too, Dad."
We still have a couple of minutes, so Hugh and I would like to share some of our favorite poetry from Shel Silverstein's Where the Sidewalk Ends.
Invitation. If you are a dreamer, come in. If you are a dreamer, a wisher, a liar, a hoper, a prayer, a magic bean buyer. If you're a pretender, come sit by my fire, for we have some flax golden tales to spin. Come in, come in.
Captain Hook. Captain Hook must remember not to scratch his toes. Captain Hook must watch out and never pick his nose. Captain Hook must be gentle when he shakes your hand. Captain Hook must be careful opening sardine cans and playing tag and pouring tea and turning pages of his book. Lots of folks I'm glad I ain't, but mostly Captain Hook.
Hug o' War. I will not play at tug-o'-war. I'd rather play at hug-o'-war, where everyone hugs instead of tugs, where everyone giggles and rolls on the rug, where everyone kisses and everyone grins and everyone cuddles and everyone wins.
The Acrobats. I'll swing by my ankles. She'll cling to your knees as you hang by your nose from a high-up trapeze. But just one thing, please. As we float through the breeze, don't sneeze.
Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Went for a ride in a flying shoe. Hooray! What fun! It's time we flew, said Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle was captain, and Pickle was crew, and Tickle served coffee and mulligan stew. As higher and higher and higher they flew. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Over the sun and beyond the blue. Hold on, stay in, I hope we do, cried Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too. Never returned to the world they knew. And nobody knows what happened to. Dear Ickle me, pickle me, tickle me too.
We've run out of time for today's reading of the Goodwill Vultures Club, A Day of Heroes. I'm Sharon Silcox, and I've been reading with the author, Hugh Willard. This show is intended for a print and visually impaired audience. Feel free to call us with questions or comments at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. Or visit our website at www.trianglereadingservice.org. Join us next time for the exciting conclusion of A Day of Heroes. From Hugh, me, and everyone here at TRRS, we wish you a great day.